Each year, Realtor Magazine features 30 young rising stars in the real estate industry. In determining who makes that 30 under 30 list, the Realtor Magazine staff looks at candidates who are successful in the real estate business, have demonstrated skill, creativity, and leadership in their careers. Well, GCAR has had the fortune of having a number of recipients of this great honor and distinction. So our team came up with a great idea of putting together a special success series where I get the opportunity to sit down with these honorees and pick their brains and learn a little bit about them, their backgrounds, some of their best practices, what we can do to achieve that level of success as well, and how they've leveraged GCAR in order to drive their success. Hey Realtors, welcome back to this success series where we're talking to our 30 under 30 winners. This next guest, apart from being just an overall great person and a lot of fun to talk to and just to hang out with, his team has surpassed over 400 career transactions, or as he would say, have helped 400 families buy their homes. He is part of the GCAR and DCAR Board of Directors for 2019. Harrison, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Absolutely, man. It's always fun to be with you, man. We're always laughing at something.
It's good times, man. Good energy.
You have some extraordinary travel stories, man. I love talking to you. We were just talking offline. Tell me a little bit about your travel. This year, you're going to Thailand?
Thailand, yeah, in the fall. Thailand and working on my layover. Most likely going to do it in Singapore for a couple days. I'm a big fan of Anthony Bourdain. And I think what he was able to do in his life was connect with people from all over, get to hear their story from an authentic and non-judgmental place. And
right.
I think that's what helps me be good at my job here is just learning to have conversations and connect with people. So we're excited to do that. But summer of 2017, I had the good fortune of going to Yacht Week in Croatia.
Oh, I love Croatia, man.
Beautiful place, beautiful place. I was surprised by a couple things. One was the ethnic diversity of the people in Croatia.
Well, you know they were part of the Ottoman Empire for a long time.
Before going, I didn't know that. And that's the cool part about traveling the world is you get to just get past assumptions and get to know people and know their story. While we were there, we rode on this interesting, I don't know what to call it, I guess business called Sail Croatia. Kind of operates like Uber for yachts.
Uber for yachts.
Uber for yachts. So you book through this company. They set you up on a boat of your size where you can segment your age group. So they have a 25 and under, a 25 to 35, a 35 and up, right? Like those are the three groups. So we're in the middle. We picked that 25 to 35, which was still fun, but not as crazy as the 25 and under because most of our friends are married and still, you know, kind of on the
decline. Well, hold on. Before you go on,
sure.
Who are you traveling with?
So the group, this group was about 24 people total. Of that 24, the cool part is they are friends from college, but also clients. About 18 of that group are people that I've helped buy, sell, or invest in real estate over the years, which is cool.
You've got your clients with you.
Oh, yeah.
Not many of us go sailing with our clients.
Yeah. But that's just a reflection of our business, man. I've been so lucky to, with this, be able to work with the people that are close to me. Because some agents will call and be like, oh, I'm a little uncomfortable with working with my friends, I don't want to overlap like personal and business. To me, that's the best
because it
just gives you the opportunity to spend time with people you want to spend time with. And for folks that I helped, you know, 6-7 years ago, like I'm directly a part of their wealth journey and their, you know, legacy building that they're doing through real estate. So it's exciting.
I love that there. I love that. So go ahead. So you guys are in Croatia.
So we're in Croatia. So Sail Croatia lets you get paired with a boat. Our boat was a total of only about, I think, 30 to 32 people. But our group was the lion's share of that. We were about 24 of that group. We hit 7 ports of call. We were there for Ultra Music Festival. And we were able to just eat some great food, see some historic sites, hear some great music, and experience a different part of the world, which we had never seen before. And even though it was more diverse than I thought, our group was primarily African American, which was interesting in a place like Croatia, like a group that big, and people are like looking like, who are they? What is going on with this whole group? Are they athletes or entertainers or something? I'm like, no, we just regular folks from DC enjoying our time and seeing the world. So that's when I am not working and helping my clients buy, sell, and invest, I like to go check out and see the world.
Now, you developed a relationship with the tour guide.
I did, actually, yeah. So this is the cool part about social media. In our last conversation, we got to talk a little bit about building and maintaining relationships with social media.
Right.
I stay in touch with her. Her name's Steph Stephanie. She's awesome. And she is Australian, but works her summers on the boats in Croatia. And she was taking a tour of the East Coast of America by bus earlier year and stopped in D.C. So I had the chance to connect with her in D.C., show her some of my favorite restaurants on U Street. And it was the same night as one of the Don't Mute D.C. peaceful protest go-go rallies. And I have a friend who's responsible in organizing those.
So and that is so D.C.
So D.C. Such a unique D.C., unique kind of black historic D.C. cultural event.
Yeah.
And I was able to expose my very Australian friend to something that's been very...
She must have blown out of her mind.
She was fascinated. She was entertained, and I was able to introduce her to some people. And randomly, I'll have to send you a clip. I got interviewed by like News 4
for a
20-second clip while we were out there, too. But I'm a little upset because they cropped out my logo and my brand. Man, I was hoping I'd get a little free brand promo. But yeah, man, it's all about all the relationships spun from that that great trip.
So you travel every year, though.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good trip every year, a really large trip every other year for the past about 6 years. It was South Africa the year before, and then Brazil the year before that, or 2 years before that.
Man, Harrison, and so you're like in the perfect business for this lifestyle that you love to travel. Of course, you need the free time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make the money to do it.
Correct.
You know, and you get to pick the people that you want to travel with, not the ones that, you know, you have to travel with.
And it's infrastructure, man. None of that could be done without having a great team that's here to support me. And, you know, again, those referrals, those clients that we're able to kind of eat and grow and win with.
Are you a native of this area?
Yes. So I grew up in Silver Spring. I always like to joke and say I haven't left about a 20-mile radius for the past, you know, 26, 27 years. And then went to high school and college in D.C. And now I live in Northeast D.C., the Michigan Park neighborhood in Northeast.
Where'd you go to school?
St. John's in Northwest for high school and Georgetown University for college.
Okay. Okay. So you are truly, truly a native. And are you married right now?
I am.
You are? Yeah. Any little regrets?
Not yet. Not yet. Wife and I have been together since 2011, married since 2015. We've got two very needy dogs that occupy the majority of our parental skills right now. But we hope to be, you know, blessed with some little ones in the future.
You know, it's funny. I don't have any pets.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter said when she was little, she's 20-something years old now. And she goes, Dad, I really want a dog. And I'm like, I am not taking care of a dog. So she was really adamant about it. She got my wife on board and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with a very creative solution.
Mm-hmm.
I went and took a picture of a really beautiful dog and brought her home dog. And she had that
rude. Rude, but funny.
No walking necessary, you know? So how long have you been in real estate?
I graduated college in May of 2008 and sat for my real estate exam in July of 2008. So it was just a couple months after graduation. I was still working some nightlife stuff, bartending, DJing the first, I'll say, year and a half or so. And I've been full-time since about late 2010. So it's 9 years.
Full-time. 9 years, yeah. What made you get into real estate?
I was really lucky to have... like every story, right? Like someone that believed in me, gave me a shot, and encouraged me to get started. For real estate, that was my best friend in college and roommate's mother, a lady named Sherry Sivertson. She was an attorney and also worked with a brokerage. And I spent a lot of time at her house because her son and I were best friends. And as I didn't have a clear plan right after graduation, she encouraged me to go and get my license and speak with her manager. So it was awesome to have someone believe in me and encourage me and say that you can do this and you should give it a shot because it aligns with your natural skill set. And I'm forever grateful to her. And whenever I see her, I always give her some love and give her a shout out for encouraging me to get in.
Did you see the value of becoming a realtor right away?
For me, it was about entrepreneurship and just being in sales. The story I always love to tell is as an undergrad, my good friend and I, Marcus Howard, started an LLC when we were juniors. So we were 19 years old, and our business was called GU College Supplies. Our biggest product was cases of water from Costco.
Wow.
We'd go buy them for $5 and sell them for $10. We set up an LLC so we could accept credit payments. And because we were students on campus, we could bypass the regular delivery standards. We could swipe into every building. And in one semester, it was over in like $9,000 in revenue and a lot of cases of water that we were taking in and out. So I've always had kind of that entrepreneurial itch. And even as in like high school, the first thing I did when my parents got high-speed internet and a CD burner was illegally download CDs and sell CDs for $5 a pop. Like, that paid for, like, that was my gas and discretionary money from, like, sophomore year beyond in high school, was making playlists and CDs for people. So the entrepreneurial spirit has always been within me. And when my friend's mom was explaining kind of how it worked, that I had a lot of relationships, had a lot of connections, was local, she's like, this will really align with what you do and what you're good at. And it did. It's been great.
So Harrison, when you got your license, did you choose to become a realtor, or was that something that was thrusted upon you that you had to become?
I say it was encouraged and kind of told that that's just what you do, right? Like, the people that supported me and really sponsored me early on to get going, that's what they did in the business. So I followed suit. After investigating a little further, though, one of the first meetings I had with another realtor, somebody prominent, was Koki Adasi.
He really?
Came and sat down with me. It was early 2009, like right after I'd gotten licensed, because he was taking the GRI class with my then mentor, Sherry Sibertson, and he had just won 30 under 30. And she said, you got to connect with this guy. He's doing amazing. So early on, Koki talked with me about YPN, talked with me about the association, and I got to know and hear his story. And I'm like, I want to be like you one day. We were only like 4 or 5 years apart and thinking age, not even maybe 4 years, but he really set a great example early and showed me like the benefit of not just being an agent, but being a realtor and being involved too.
Isn't that something where winners attract winners?
Yeah, man. Abundance mindset, man. It's you know, what you put out to the universe, that law of attraction. It's so real.
Yeah, and Koki definitely has it, and you definitely have it, of course. You know, and speaking of that, you were the 2016, one of the 2016 30 Under 30 winners. What possessed you to even put your hat in there? Because, I mean, it's a rigorous process.
Yeah, yeah. Initially, it was knowing Koki and seeing Koki. And I'm very competitive, too. So as I looked at the magazines coming out year over year, I actually applied 5 times in total. Like, I applied the first time in 2010, and then again in 11, 12, 13, 14. Took a year off, applied again 15, 16, and won in 16.
So that is huge right there, what you just said. Yeah. First of all, thank you for being so honest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because... not that anybody else would admit to it, but man, failure is the most essential part of success, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that you were so persistent in getting that honor, mm-hmm. I imagine it changed from the first time you applied to the final time when you won. It changed the way you did business. Absolutely. To conform more to that winner mindset, to what they were looking for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me about that journey right there. How did it change it?
For sure.
How did it change it?
So initially it was really superficial, right? Like, a part of the honoree class every year is sales. It's your story. It's what you do. And my assumption was just that because I was different, right? A little younger, quite frankly, a black man, right? Like, that was something that was not really well represented in the class. And I was selling a little bit that would be enough, right? Like, if I got that every year, like, they should pick me.
A young black realtor.
Yeah, right.
That's unique.
Never heard of that one, right? Yeah, right. But then as I was, you know, applying and, you know, I'd get a response and they'd say, like, oh, you know, good try, do it again next year. And I'm competitive. I really dug in closer to look at, like, what were the combination of things or the people that were earning it every year. And it was formulating your story and formulating how you directly give back and what you intend to do after you get in the door and earn it. And I think the last year, like, the progression from the first year to the year I actually earned it, was really thinking critically about not just why I deserved it, but then what I would do to pay forward after I got it, right? Like, so by thinking bigger and how you're going to give back and that kind of altruistic element, that's what ultimately put me over the edge. And they might have just got tired of seeing my name too and knew it was the last year. So they said, hey, 29 this year, got to give it to him. He's never going to leave us alone.
Yeah, we got to give him something, right?
Yeah.
No, but that's an extraordinary story, and I really appreciate that. What benefits did you see by being a member of GCAR?
Mm-hmm.
How did that help you achieve your honor?
Because our area is so dynamic in terms of the people that from our region that have won it before, from our association that have won it before, we had a pretty awesome roadmap from past winners. Again, like I said, Koki, Danae, Barack, Ron Magnus is another local guy that comes to mind. We just have so many past honorees in this area, and I was able to reach out to them directly and say, hey, past my pride. I haven't gotten it before. Let's talk about like some of the things you did, having the access to them locally and their willingness to share and be open. Bowman Keaty and Brandon Green are two of the operators of my brokerage now. They were past honorees as well. And I made that a really big, point when I was looking to make a brokerage change a few years back that, hey guys, this is something I want. You're in this circle. How can you support me? Help me make my package better so that I can improve my probability of winning. GCAR and DCAR are just awesome with having people that want to share
And I've noticed that. I was talking to Danae earlier and she was telling me that not only is it about the fact that you can develop relationships. Mm-hmm. With total winners, mm-hmm. people who have that competitive mindset, but yet are willing to give you their roadmap to success. Mm-hmm. But then also that you guys got a little private network going on there, right?
Yeah, that to me, like I kind of knew about that and thought it would be cool. But after, I guess this is the third, going into the fourth year of being in it, the level of conversation, just the caliber of people, how big they think, it is so much bigger than real estate with so many of them now. I mean, there's this guy, Leo Pareja, who won back in the early 2000s, who's now no longer selling anymore. He was a millionaire real estate agent, like had a team that netted over $1 million and has now moved on to create the search product Remind. Like,
okay,
he went from saying, hey, I'm looking at this field where I, am investing in real estate. I'm helping people buy and sell at a high level. The real opportunity isn't even in selling real estate. Like, you sell so much or you think so big that you know that being a service provider to the national real estate industry is your next thing. Just having the chance to connect with people that think that big and see the roadmap for what they've done. And the fact that so many of them are like, hey, here's what I did. Because to me, it's an interesting both confident and encouraging standpoint to say, I'm going to give you my playbook. Half out of 10 people will even try, and one out of 10 people are actually going to do all the stuff that it takes. So take the playbook. Are you up for it? Are you going to do it? And it every day challenges me and just encourages me to do better and step it up in every way.
I've had that experience where I've reached out to people who are members of GCAR, and mm-hmm. they're just so willing to like you say, open their playbook and say, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is what mm-hmm. you can do. See if it works for you. I have a funny story with you.
What you got?
So we did the podcast, and you probably remember this, but mm-hmm. we did the podcast, and then a week later, we had our meeting down in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So I'm going down. There's no parking anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I said, Lord, I need a parking right in front of the building, man. So as I pull up, there you are.
There was.
And I'm like, hey, Harrison, how you doing, man? Mm-hmm. Are you parked there? And you mm-hmm. go, yeah. And I go, can you hold it while I go around the block and come back? Because there was no U-turns anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
You held the parking. I'm thinking, man, G-Car's great.
That's right. See the relationships?
See the relationships? So I got a parking right in front of the building, yeah, man.
On New Hampshire Ave, that is tough.
That is tough, right? Nearby, so. You get out a lot into these events that G-Car has. I keep telling you, buddy, if you haven't gone to a G-Car event, you're missing out mm-hmm. on a lot. Mm-hmm. One, they have a tremendous amount of events. Mm-hmm. They have a whole bunch of committees that you can be part of. Mm-hmm. What is your take on all that?
Yeah. So my kind of entry way to all of it was YPN, Young Professional Network, which has, I'd argue, kind of led the way with some of the social and connecting social and community service events. As realtors, it's just smart to get out and know your fellow practitioners. Like, to sell at a high level, we have to interact with, both our competitors and our fellow realtors. And if there's someone that I've had the chance to meet, have a conversation with, have some type of positive orientation with in a competitive market, that matters if they're writing offers on my listings, period. I have confidence that, oh, I've met you before. You, had a good impression on me. And I can communicate that to my seller or to my buyer client. So at a very basic level, making your world bigger inside of our industry locally can help you do better business because it's about relationship.
You're absolutely right.
And then in addition, from the professional development standpoint, from some of the tactical and educational offerings, it helps you just kind of add different tools to your toolbox to be better, think creatively, stay licensed at a minimum, right?
Right.
Because I don't know about you, but I do the online stuff sometimes when I'm forced with it, but I really enjoy the classes and just being able to sit there, connect with people, get some other feedback. I think the educational offerings that we have are second to none. And the social stuff is good too, because I like to have fun parties.
Talking about the CE classes, mm-hmm. I did take one last year, took one CE class online. Mm-hmm. And I took subsequently like three or four here at GCAR.
Mm-hmm.
And just the relationships that I built with the people inside the class.
Yeah.
And the phenomenal instructors that I met. As a matter of fact, I met this one attorney. He was, he taught ethical investing.
Okay.
I mean, that just,
it's a great topic.
It blew my mind.
Yeah.
It opened up something because I have a brother-in-law who is into investing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm speaking to this guy, to my brother-in-law at a level where the guy's like, fascinated by me, but all I'm doing is regurgitating what I learned in the...
It's adding tools to your toolbox, right? Adding tools that you can utilize and grow with yourself.
Yeah, so definitely is amazing. And I get out to the events as well, you know, and I have so much fun. You guys at the YPN, you guys have a lot of great events. Looking at
And they're parties with a purpose. I'll say the biggest thing that kind of started with the YPN leadership legacy that's been going for the past 11 years is that, you know, we have a good time, but with everything we do, there's always a charitable community service component. And even if it's not people writing checks or bringing donations for an organization, the fact that we get to elevate some really awesome organizations that do work in our community, specifically with the homeless, specifically with kids or just folks in need, you know, we have so much abundance with this hot and awesome as this market is now, I think it behooves us to not be direct and intentional about sharing that abundance back. And YPN's done a great job, you know, tooting their horn, our horn, over the years of connecting the dots. Like, you can have a good time and you can do some real good at the same time.
And it's not only for the young people. It's also for the rest of us, you know.
It's a state of – so the Y in YPN is a state of mind. And Young Professional Network is a state of mind. There is no age limit. And I actually encourage and think it's great when people from every walk come to those just because the energy is infectious. And our association would not be what it is without a connection from all. So hopefully we can be a focal point. And you can learn – you know, something from these young whippersnappers, make some relationships. And for folks growing their teams, getting some fresh young talent or growing your brokerage, whoever, like, you're going to have a better chance of making those connections if you've already met in another context instead of just cold calling somebody.
You said young whippersnappers, right? haven't heard that in so long.
That's the weirdest combination of, right, saying young plus whippersnapper.
Young whippersnappers. So as we wrap up, I want to know, what drives Harrison Beecher? Give me one or two things.
Experience. I love, I could say at my core, what I've been good at over the years is curating awesome and positive experiences for people. Back from when I used to work in hospitality and nightlife and serving tables and DJing, and I would be at my happiest and my best when the people who were involved in the experience that I was in charge of or creating were having the time of their lives, right? Like, I always seek to get back to that emotional point. And with my clients that we're helping to buy and sell, if we can make their buying, selling, ownership, neighborhood, community experience great after, we're going to continue to be relevant. There's so much change coming into the market, and the role of realtors is being checked, being challenged. And I'd argue that some of our value is being diluted by some of the other messages and shortcuts to people being able to buy and sell houses without us. I think what will keep us relevant and keep us around is the focus on that experience and what we're able to do in connecting people with not just the functionary parts of it, but the fiduciary, the relationship, the lifestyle, the community. We're on the ground in every neighborhood, right? Like, realtors are everywhere.
Yeah.
And the knowledge that we have from being good neighbors and being good members of our communities is what our clients will continue to need and want. So for me, the better I can help my team deliver on that, the better I can deliver on that, just the better communities we help create, the bigger businesses we grow, and the more ultimately we can give back and have an impact too.
What advice do you have for somebody who is either new to the business or they've stalled in their business? What advice can you give us to become successful like you have?
Think first about the connections and relationships you already have. And again, it's an advantage I've always had of having a slightly bigger than normal network. I get now to pause for a second and slow down and look back at those of the 400, the first 10, 15 folks, right, who I've stayed in touch with and, you know, they're in that circle and are around, but I get to call them back and thank them, right, for being one of the first ones to give me a shot, but also just check in and see how you can help. If you're a new realtor in this business and you're focused on, you know, some of the high-end metrics of, like, how many appointments do I have and how many appointments go to contract and contracts go to close and profit and all those things, you have to know that and have it in the back of your mind. But your focus needs to be with the people that are already in your world. How can you connect with them? How can you help them? How can you provide value to them, right? Like, don't get it too complicated. It's something as simple. Like my calls last night, we had a team call night last night. I had to get through 20 calls. And in those calls, all I just said was, hey, how are you doing? Is there anything I can help you with? And stop. Right. So if you're looking for something to just get going again, and I don't like making phone calls, like that's not my thing.
That's not your thing.
That's not my thing. But when I'm calling people that I'm already connected with, it's maybe been a while since I talked to, the energy and just the positive vibes that come from me reaching out to say, hey, how are things going? Can I help you with anything? I'm not asking for anything of you. I'm just seeing how you're doing. They were like, and some of them I hadn't talked to in a while, and it's been on me for not talking to them. They're like, oh, I mean, great. Wow. Thank you. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'm like, here's my updated contact info. We'll be having some events in the future. Just know you're always welcome. We'd love to see you at something. And if you ever need anything, don't hesitate. I'm always here to help. Like that phrase, I'm always here to help.
You treat your real estate business as more of a hospitality.
Yeah. Yeah. You really put that succinctly, but if you focus on the hospitality, the service, the connection, the assistance, the support of folks, like that's huge. And that's what people want now as well. Yeah. We just have to both schedule the time to do it. We got to frame it in the right way. Because right. If you're, you know, it may be weird, right? When people don't know who you are at all. Like, hi, hello, stranger. How can I help you?
How can I help you?
So that's why I say start with the folks you know. And then as you've kind of built up some social capital, some rapport, then you can be invited in. And the cool part about that is once you're making those follow-ups, those touches, look at the referrals come in. Because they're reminded of you. And they got something positive to associate with you. And then after you've made that, so we'll make that two part. First is to reach out and touch. Then also between your social media, your LinkedIn, your webpage, whatever is your way to be found online elsewhere, make sure that that is clear for when folks want to reach out and send you something. Like nothing makes me more upset than when, you know, a realtor reach out or someone will connect me and I'll click one of the links in their either email signature or profile. And it's like 5 or 6 clicks to get in touch with them.
Oh, yeah.
So, right? Like, so you should have, I mean, there's a ton, like social media makes it too easy. Like in our Instagram page, there's a call me button. There's an email me button. There's a reach out to me. And I use a service called Acuity Scheduler that allows people to get into a segment of my calendar to book a meeting, a phone call, anything. And that's both realtors that just want to talk about life and buyers, sellers, investors, clients. So I've got those two segments. If you reach out to me right now and send me a text, I've got a shortcut where I can send you that link to my calendar and you can book an opportunity to connect with me on your time.
You're very organized.
You got to be efficient. Wow. Yeah.
One of the things that seems to be the undertone of everybody that I've interviewed so far, 30 and a 30, is relationships.
Yeah.
Putting yourself out there, because you guys certainly put yourself out there,
mm-hmm.
and being of service to others.
Yeah. At a high level, that's what it's got to be about. I mean, if you are, you know, intrinsically focused only and saying, like, I'm just doing this for me or a certain dollar amount, that's going to be hard to do at a high level. Like, you're going to burn out. Like, there has to be a bigger mission. Is a part of it, but it's got to be something that's externally focused so that you've got this other target that you're trying to hit, which is giving the best experience, giving the most back, like doing the best by people and for people. And if you do that, like what comes back to you, like we started out saying, that law of attraction.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a person of faith, you call it whoever you pray to gives it back, but it's the universe that puts it back out to you as well.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Harrison, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you, man.
Always.
Thank
you bring so much energy and light into the room, man. It's incredible. No wonder you're very successful. I wish you continued success in your endeavors. We'll definitely see each other. I'll probably see you at your 4th of July.
Right? That's right. I'm seeing an invite. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, come on.
Harrison's Barbecues, man. So, my friend, thank you again. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with GCAR. As always, we hope you found this podcast as another resource from your Greater Capital Area Association of Realtors, keeps you informed, educated, and motivated. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like to hear us cover, or even if you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, please send us an email to communications@gcar.com. And remember, the Real Talk with GCAR podcast can be heard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on your favorite device, right from our website at gcar.com. And make sure you subscribe to our GCAR YouTube channel, like us on Facebook at GCAR2, and on Twitter at GCARNow. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is a production of the Greater Capital Area Association of Realtors, also known as GCAR. The entire contents are the property of the Greater Capital Area Association of Realtors and may not be reproduced. This podcast is for general educational purposes and may not be relied upon as professional advice. The Greater Capital Area Association of Realtors does not endorse anything mentioned in this podcast, and the contents do not reflect the opinions or policies of the Greater Capital Area Association of Realtors. Read the full terms and conditions at GCAR.com by going to news and publications /Real Talk with GCAR. By accessing this podcast, you agree to accept GCAR's podcast terms and conditions.